In middle school German class, I stumbled onto a friendship that I would never have chosen for myself. None of my friends from elementary school, my German class, but I kept having to find a partner for assignments. I wasn't very popular, and neither was one other girl in my class. I tried to find another partner, any other partner but her. I didn't want to feel like only an unwanted person would want to be my partner. But it was an uphill battle, and eventually I resigned myself to my fate. And then I started to get to know Logan. And as it turned out, Logan loved fantasy and science fiction just like me, and she was a total Lord of the Rings geek. In fact, I don't think I would have been as much of a Lord of the Rings geek if I hadn't met Logan. Logan loved Shakespeare, too, which I didn't really understand at all in middle school, but being friends with her helped me to understand it better. And Logan also had a much more nuanced understanding of the world than I did as a teenager. And looking back, I'm so grateful for the way that she challenged my view of the world. In short, it turned out that Logan is amazing. And once I knew Logan, and once Logan knew me, we weren't stuck together because no one else wanted to be our partners. We were each other's first choice. It took me a long time to learn this lesson, and I've often forgotten it. I wanted so badly for my other classmates to imagine that I would be a great partner. But what I needed to do was to imagine what a great partner and what a great friend Logan would be. I'm thankful for the chance that pushed us together anyway. Last year, through another fortuitous chance, I had the opportunity to intern with the Juvenile Justice Coalition. The Juvenile Justice Coalition's work focuses on lobbying at the Ohio State House here in Columbus against what we call the school-to-prison pipeline. I had heard before about the school-to-prison pipeline. It's a phrase that describes how city public schools treat students in such a way that rather than funneling them into college, they're funneling them into prison. But in my internship, I learned details and stories that made that pipeline seem so much more real to me. For instance, zero tolerance policies have resulted in students being suspended and expelled for minor infractions, including in early elementary school. One young woman I met had been suspended for significant time while she was in third grade. While she was suspended, she missed significant content, and so she had a harder time understanding what was going on when she got back to school, and that made her more likely to get bored while she was in class. And then being bored in class made her more likely to get frustrated with her teacher, and that made her more likely to get in trouble again and start the whole cycle over. I'm extremely sorry, but that alarm is mine. I did put it on worship mode, but for some reason my alarms don't follow worship mode. It's very frustrating. So that's from third grade. But then as students get older, the school discipline is inside the school. But can result in criminal charges. So, you know, schoolyard fights that otherwise might have stayed inside the school are now resulting in one or both parties getting permanent marks on their record or even going to court. And then, once a child goes to court and encounters the juvenile justice system, it is difficult for them to get out of it permanently. One of the young men that I met got stuck in an escalating cycle of warrants, arrests, court dates, parole. And the cycle started because The juvenile court determined that this young man did not have a family member that was responsible enough to take care of him, but the foster care system didn't have a place for him to be. And so he was essentially being punished over and over for not having a home. The more stories that I heard, the more real and more real this pipeline seemed. The Juvenile Justice Coalition also has connections to a group called the People's Justice Project, which organizes working people and people of color against mass incarceration and police brutality, which is the adult side of the system. So as part of my internship, I participated in many of the People's Justice Project planning meetings and protests for justice for the deaths of Henry Green, Tyree King, Jerron Thomas, and others who have been killed recently by the Columbus police. Joining in the protests and in that community often felt powerful and exciting, but it also taught me some hard things that many people of color in our country have known all along about the oppression built into our society and the difficulty of making change. I would hear the stories of the families of these victims firsthand, and then I would see the way that the narrative which was told by city officials and just twisted and turned to mean something totally different. I saw the incidents of violence in the police's treatment of protesters, even though I had been there and I knew we were totally peaceful. And I saw how officials were to even talk with families or the organizers who were working and supporting with the families, much less do anything in response. So far, none of the officers who have been involved in these killings have even been put on trial. And the more that I connected with the People's Justice Project and other organizers, the more often I heard about the deaths of young Black people in our community at the hands of Columbus police, but also due to the epidemic of violence in cash-poor, primarily Black neighborhoods in Columbus. Every death felt like an earthquake that shook the whole community, and they seemed to follow so close together that sometimes it didn't feel like there was time to recover between them. I didn't even know any of those people who had died personally, and I still felt the effect, so I can only imagine what it was like for the people who knew them. Let's take a breath together. For some of us, hearing all of these injustices named in this space, this is a space where we don't have to pretend that the world isn't the way that it should be. And for some of us, hearing all of these injustices named in this space may tempt despair. Oh, even here in this space that I come to for hope, even here there's more bad news. And some of us feel both ways. But what I've learned from the community of Juvenile Justice Coalition and the People's Justice Project has ultimately taught me a lot about hope. The hope that I grew up with as a white, middle-class person was often based on a sense of control. It's the sort of hope of, I hope that I go to a good college because I get good grades at my good high school and my parents have money to send me to college. There's not a lot of risk involved. But the more that I learn about how oppression is built into our society's systems, the more out of control everything feels. And with the turmoil in our current political situation, I think many people have lost even an illusion of control in our world right now. It feels like everything is at risk. And that can tempt us to give up hope. But just because everything is at risk is a far cry from everything being lost. I've been learning about a different type of hope and a different relationship with risk. The organizers that I got to know last year were shocked, like us, by some of the political changes. But that shock didn't lead to despair, it led to continued action and continued hope. I think that this is because they didn't start with the assumption that everything was under control. They started with the assumption that life is risky, that everything is not under control. It's not under the control of anyone. It's not under the control of those who build systems of oppression. Life is risky. Nobody can be certain of stopping us, and we can't be sure that what we try will succeed. But the riskiest course of action of all may be to give up and do nothing. Why should we risk hope? Because each person, each human being on this planet has skills, knowledge, experience, potential, goodness, beauty within them that we can only imagine until we find out what that is. When we see the greatness of each person, we can't help but love each other. And when we love each other, we can't help but risk for each other. And when we risk together, we are powerful. Tammy Fournier Alsada, a core organizer in the People's Justice Project and one of my good friends, always says, "Everything we need for our liberation is right here in this room." In the midst of cycles of oppression, protests, and earth-shaking deaths, the Juvenile Justice Coalition has started a group called the Voices of the Unheard that exemplifies this type of hope to me. The Voices of the Unheard is a group for people, young people, who are at risk or who have already been affected by the school-to-prison pipeline. While Voices of the Unheard does provide material support and emotional support to these middle school and high school students, it is not just providing support, but empowering young people and following the leadership of people. These young people are not treated as victims, but are respected as experts on the school-to-prison pipeline. Last year, these young people planned a press conference and spoke at the State House to legislators about their experience. And partly as a result of their efforts, the Ohio legislature passed a bill written by the Juvenile Justice Coalition. It was called House Bill 410. And it did a lot to limit when schools can suspend students, as well as trying to keep kids out of the courts just for not being able to make it to school, which is really awesome. And is that these youth are being trained in community organizing skills, and they're being supported by mentors. And this year, they're taking on leading their own meetings. And ultimately, these youth are going to determine what bills the juvenile justice system, or not the juvenile justice system, but the Juvenile Justice Coalition writes. And they're going to determine how the legal experts will be lobbying in response to other bills. And they're going to organize their own actions supporting the issues that affect them in the ways that they know are best because they're the experts. I've had the honor to be a mentor over the past year with the Voices of the Unheard, though I'm learning quite a lot right along with these young people. You'd think I would have learned from experience in middle school with my friend Logan, but I'm embarrassed to say that the first time I came to a meeting, my main impression was that these youth were very well behaved, much more so than other groups of at-risk youth that I had worked with, which was such a ridiculous understatement. As I've gotten to know the youth, I've been amazed at how incredible they are and how much they've grown in only a year. Some are already in leadership positions at their schools. Some are particularly skilled at connecting with other people. Many of them are artists. And all of them are powerful, loving, complex, awe-inspiring. In other words, as I might have expected, they are human beings. I'm so thankful that Amber, one of the staff members at the Juvenile Justice Coalition, imagined and expected the same potential in me when I introduced myself to her. When I asked her if I could do an internship, she welcomed me immediately, expected that I had something to contribute, was curious to find out what it might be. Her expectation and her curiosity pulled me right into the community. May we discover a hope that can handle the risk that we face today. A hope that is based less in having total control and more on expecting greatness from every single person. And may our hope lead to a radical hospitality. If everything we need for our liberation is right here in this room, then we are going to be really curious about each other, simply because we are in this room together. And we become curious about the next person who walks in the door, and about the person who's been here for years but we've never talked to before. Who are these amazing, powerful people sitting next to us? Let's practice curiosity. Let's imagine the treasure of humanity all around us. Let's expect greatness. Blessed be.